Wouldn't it have been great to walk with Jesus in the streets of Galilee, or float with him on the Sea of Galilee, or walk with him into Jerusalem? We think that sometimes. Not long ago when we were in Israel, I found myself thinking that from time to time. Wouldn't that have been something to be able to be with Jesus when he was here? We're going to see this evening that Jesus declares something remarkable when he says that we are better off, that we have an advantage over.
He's lined up, ready, here it comes, and
I'm not sure what happened there.
It's really a remarkable declaration. But he says it here in John chapter 16. Let's pick up right where we left off in John chapter 16, verse 4. And I used up a lot of my words this morning, so I might let you out early enough to get an ice cream cone tonight. But remember, we ended in verse 4. But these things I have spoken to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Jesus, in other words, I did not have to instruct you about how the world hates disciples, because I was with you to bear the brunt of their hostility. But now that I'm leaving you, I needed to tell you. But now, verse 5, I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The gift of the Holy Spirit gives us that advantage. And Jesus here is teaching the disciples that it's his redemptive work, the cross and resurrection. It's through that redemptive work that he gives the gift of the Holy Spirit and makes that promise a reality. It's important that we understand from the context of the Old Testament messianic promises that one of the chief blessings of the Messiah is that he gives the Holy Spirit. As Brother Ray just mentioned, that he takes out that heart of stone and gives the heart of flesh, that we all know him by the Spirit, that the law is no longer inscribed in tablets of stone, but on our hearts, that he gives us the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I can't complete this work. I can't give you the Holy Spirit unless I go in obedience and lay down my life on the cross and bring that victory through the resurrection. And so here in chapter 16, we come to the last two of the five sections in the farewell discourse that deal with the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that section number 4 begins in verse 8 and runs through verse 11. And the last of the discussions about the Holy Spirit follows in verse 12 through 15. One of the things that Jesus talks about most in the farewell discourse is the Holy Spirit. And that on its surface is an important truth. If we are to know how we should live as his disciples in this world, then we need to understand the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus prepares us to be his disciples in this world by teaching us about the Holy Spirit. In fact, just because I know that you're especially committed students of the Bible, let's read all five of those. They're short. You want to? Let's read everything that Jesus says about the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one called beside us. And we won't have these on the screens unless the guys in the booth are really good. But you have your Bible. And so look at John chapter 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, another of the same kind, a helper like me, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. And as we continue to read, look in verse 25 and 26 of chapter 14. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. And look at chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. We read this morning, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. And now Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away, because in going away to the cross, I can give you, I can send you the Holy Spirit to work within. And look first of all in verse 8 through 11, what Jesus teaches us about the Holy Spirit's work in the world. And He, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been cast down. Jesus here is teaching us that one aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit in this world is that He works to convict the world. That word convict means to convince, even more than that, to expose the guilt. It even means to shame, to bring to repentance, to expose. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. This morning, when we talked about how hostile the world is to disciples, one understandable response to that is, if the world's face is so set against us, if the world really is so hostile and dark, then what hope do we have of ever being effective in making disciples out of the world? And here Jesus says, our hope is in the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is working to convict the world. Remember that when Peter, who sat under Jesus in this teaching, experienced the empowering of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and stood up to preach in Jerusalem to many of the very same who had yelled, "Crucify Him," only days earlier, when he preached the gospel of Christ crucified, the book of Acts tells us that thousands of those who heard him were pierced to their hearts. They were cut to the quick. They were pierced in their hearts. That's an interesting use of the passive verb. Peter didn't cut them. They didn't cut themselves. Who pierced the hearts of the people who heard the gospel on that first time it was preached? The Holy Spirit of God. And specifically, Jesus says the Holy Spirit working in the world will convict, will expose sin, righteousness, judgment. Now, this can be a little difficult to interpret because, or to understand, because the language is so compressed here. But it's really not all that confusing. In fact, Jesus explains it word by word. How does the Holy Spirit convict the world concerning sin? He convicts concerning sin because they do not believe in me. See, when someone rejects Jesus, when they do not believe in Jesus, then they're living in willful ignorance of their own sin. They're refusing to acknowledge their own need. And those in unbelief, and by the way, the sinner, the heart of unbelief is rejecting Jesus. Those in their unbelief are convicted of their sin by the Spirit. Verse 10 says, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. The Holy Spirit convicts the world concerning righteousness. I believe this is what Jesus is teaching us. In order for people to respond positively to the gospel and experience a life-changing encounter with Christ, first of all, they need to acknowledge their sin, and secondly, they need to admit the true nature of their righteousness. That their righteousness is a sham. That it's empty. To use the language of Isaiah, that it's like a filthy rag. And we know, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of righteousness because I go to the Father. I'm not going to be here to do it, Jesus is saying. And when we read the Gospel of John, isn't it true that one of the chief things we see Jesus doing is exposing the farce of the so-called righteousness of the people in Judea and Galilee? They were so proud of their temple worship, he cleaned it out. They took such pride in their Sabbath laws, he intentionally thumbed his nose at them. He exposed their claims to righteousness. And one of the things we realize is that lost people, whether they're lost in America or India or nearly every place in the world, almost always have some form of righteousness. Might be religious or spiritual or moral or family heritage. But in their heart and mind, somehow they've convinced themselves that they're okay because they have this aspect of life that makes them right. But Jesus says the Holy Spirit exposes that for the sham that it is. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And concerning judgment, verse 11, and concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. The Holy Spirit exposes the guilt of the judgment of the world. Because of your poor judgment, you will be judged. Look at the one that you're following, the prince of this world. He stands judged already. Judgment. So the Holy Spirit works in the hearts and minds of lost people, convicting them of sin and righteousness and judgment. Exposing that they are guilty and empty and damned. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We would have no hope of being effective in reaping a harvest, in helping lost people come to a saving faith in Christ, apart from the Holy Spirit working in their hearts and minds, in their lives. But since He does, we have confidence. We have confidence. Some of you have had this experience. Hey, when you try to press the claims of the gospel on the heart and mind of someone who's not under conviction by the Holy Spirit, you might as well be talking to a brick wall. But when they're under conviction, you can bumble and stumble through the whole deal. Just pray with me. Right? Because the Holy Spirit is working, convicting the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. But there's more to the work of the Spirit than that. Verse 12 through 15. Jesus continues to talk about the Holy Spirit. And this time his focus is not on the Spirit's work in the world, but the Spirit's work in our lives, guiding us in the truth. Look at the good news in verse 12 through 15. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I thought I might get an amen to that. I have many more things to say to them, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you in all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. That word disclose is like the word angel and means to bring a message, to declare. He will declare, He will announce, He will make it known to you what is to come. That's not merely talking about the distant future like the Spirit did reveal to John what is to come, but everything about life after the redemptive work of Christ, how it is you're to live, who you're to be, what are the patterns of your life. He will disclose to you what is to come. Verse 14, He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine and He will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit guides us in the truth. This text runs a couple of different directions. This is one of the places in the Bible that speak to us about the Holy Spirit's work of inspiration. That the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to record truth for us. That He guided them in the truth. And there is a theme here in the farewell discourse. We see it in chapter 14, verse 26, and chapter 15, verse 27, and here in chapter 16, verse 12, of the apostles can't understand, they can't remember, they can't know it all now, but the Holy Spirit will help them remember. He'll help them to know. He'll guide them in the truth. Because through the Holy Spirit, the Lord used the apostles to give us His New Testament word. And so here the text is speaking to that supernatural, that miraculous work of inspiration by which God gives us His word. He used them to record His truth, His teaching, His word, consistent with His past revelation and centered on Jesus. He's going to give you what I have and what the Father has. And it's going to glorify Me. Through the apostles, the Spirit gives us the truth. But also, this is a text that moves to speak to us about the work of the Spirit in illumination. Not just that He gives us the Word, but He helps us to understand the Word. He guides us in the truth. Listen, these are wonderful promises. What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives, in this world? He discloses, He makes known, He announces, He declares the truth to us. That's a plain teaching of God's Word. In fact, He guides us in the truth, the text says. Do you see how the word guide means more than He gives us an understanding? Guide takes a step beyond disclose, right? He announces, He declares, He discloses it to and He guides you. You see, guide is not only about showing the way, but leading us in the way. It's not just about knowing, but doing. Walking. He guides us in the truth so that we live the truth. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This warns every believer against saying, I can't understand the Bible. Now, some people have a learning disability. It's hard for them to read and understand. But if that's not you, then you should never say, I just can't understand the Bible. Well, I don't read it because I can't understand it. Listen, when you say that, you're not belittling yourself. You're belittling the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and guide. Now, I want to give you testimony that I grew up in church and had a great advantage. Yet, even that being the case, I had to read the Bible almost every day for years before I really began to feast on the Word. But the Holy Spirit taught me. He teaches me still. I promise you, no, I don't promise you. Jesus promises you that if you'll sit down with the Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in the truth, He'll do that. That's His job. He discloses the truth and He guides Christians in the truth. What a tragedy it is when a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ fails to take advantage of this great promise that the Spirit of God Himself is called alongside us to guide us in the truth. If a great teacher of the Bible called you tonight and said, let's imagine, just because it's a name you all know, let's imagine that a young and healthy Billy Graham called you tonight. He said, I'd like to come to your house in the morning at 6:30 and sit down with you at your breakfast table and walk through the Scripture together. Guide you in the truth. Would you say, oh, Billy, I got to watch my show tonight. I don't know if I can get up that early in the morning. I mean, that's when Good Morning America is on. I got to check the weather. No, I bet you'd invite him over. You'd be there with your Bible open, wouldn't you? The Holy Spirit guides us in the truth. That's probably enough. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for these promises. I pray, Father, that even this week, as we walk with you through this world, we would share the gospel with confidence, knowing that your Holy Spirit convicts the world. And I pray, Father, that even this week, as we sit down and open the Scriptures, we would read and study your Word with confidence that your Holy Spirit guides us in the truth. We know that you'll be faithful to your promises. We thank you and bless you, Holy Spirit, for your work in this world. Our advocate, our comforter, our counselor, our help. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to sing a closing hymn that is connected to the text tonight. And as we sing it, some may want to join our church. If you come forward, we'd be happy to receive you. Some maybe have never made a personal commitment to Christ. Maybe you've never been scripturally baptized. And you'd like to explore that. You come and we'll help you with that. For most of you here tonight, a good way to respond to God's Word and His Spirit is to sing this hymn that speaks about the Lord's work in our lives through the Holy Spirit, helping us to feed on the Word. And let's put this hymn in our hearts and minds as we go out into the week. Stand together and we'll sing hymn number 263.